The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
I'm hoping the Big Ten has to modify their system for us.
Probably like getting grade 10 sandpaper rubbed on your face every day.
I mean, we say it all the time, whether, you know, there's two types of turds. You're a sinker or you're a floater, but you're still a turd, right? I mean,
we are about players and players playing the plays and not necessarily the plays.
Welcome to the Varsity Club Podcast. My name is Derek Peterson, back after 1 week hiatus. Joining me is Aaron Sorensen. We're going to do this podcast last week. So we're making up for it this week. Aaron, hello. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad to find it. Like, last week was wild. You ran through it all with flight, so it's okay. Like, I'm just happy to be here this week.
Fun, yeah. And then, because my flight out to Los Angeles was a mess, and then my flight back from Los Angeles to Chicago was even worse.
Oh, no. I didn't even ask.
Yeah, I was in the airport. In an airport or on an airplane for 12 hours Saturday.
Oh my gosh.
So that was a whole lot of fun. And also LAX has like put mask mandates back into place. So that was a whole thing going on. LAX did, and I found out that O'Hare did as I was walking out of the building.
Really?
Late Saturday night. Yeah. So that was a whole other thing to add to the
I was just in O'Hare on Monday and Tuesday, and I would not have known that.
I don't think they're enforcing it.
Oh, well,
but okay. I saw signage, which, and like, that's why, you know, as I'm walking through the airport, I didn't realize it. And then I get outside and I see a sign on the front, and it was a new sign because I don't remember seeing it, you know, a couple weeks ago when we flew. But yeah, I don't think they're enforcing it. So that was all fun. Yeah, you were in Chicago recently.
I was.
Volleyball Big Ten media day. So I have to ask you, you and Jacob were here. Where'd you guys go to eat?
Shake Shack.
Come on.
He's never had Shake Shack before. So I took him and he thought it was good. So that's a win in my book.
Jacob has never had Shake Shack before?
He has not. So we both got a Shack burger. He got just regular fries. I got fries with cheese sauce. You have to. And then he got a strawberry lemonade. I got a regular lemonade. And then, he got a strawberry shake and I got their like one of their like current like special shakes right now. So just really special time.
I'm surprised that he hasn't been, considering like every time you are in like in the vicinity of Chicago, you try to go to Shake Shack. I'm surprised because he'd been on trips with us to the area before, hadn't he?
Yeah, but like I don't know. Like, I know that when he was there at Big Ten basketball media days with you,
we went to Geno's.
There you go. Cause if it's you, it's pizza.
It is. Yeah. Except you guys were here and we were planning to go, you know, meet up and get dinner together. I was going to take you to this place that has, it serves bone marrow.
I'm not sure how he would have reacted to that one.
It's a burger place. And it's funny because I took Alex there and we're walking up to like the outside of the building. And she's like, Derek, I'm not dressed appropriately enough for this. Like, I need to be dressed nicer for this. And the name of the place would lead you to believe that it's like a fancy French restaurant. And then you walk into it and it looks like a very classic, like dive bar corner, like hole in the corner. That you find in New York City, like a big city, and it's just a burger joint. But it also has bone marrow as an appetizer that it serves, and people go there. There was this guy that we talked to last time we were there that was like, yep, I come here every week, and he gets a fried bologna sandwich, and he gets bone marrow.
Oh, interesting.
So we'll...
Next time. I was already talking about we're going to have to be back anyway because Nebraska is playing at Purdue. And instead of flying to Indy to go to Purdue, I think we're just going to fly to Chicago and then drive from there because it's just easier.
Perfect. Perfect. There you go. We're planning things out. My brain immediately was like, well, when they come from Northwestern, they're not coming from Northwestern. They're going across the pond.
We're going to Dublin.
And that game is coming up. real quick, it's August already, which is cool, which means fall camp has opened.
So Aaron, which is why I'm sitting here in the stadium right now.
Yes. Aaron, I have you on the podcast today. We're going to talk about fall camp. But first, before we get to that, like, and I understand for people that like listen to this podcast every week, there wasn't a podcast last week. We were going to talk about this last week. Like, I feel like discourse in the Husker bubble is sort of like social media trends. Like, you see a trend on TikTok, and after like 3 or 4 days, it's completely burned itself out of the zeitgeist and they're onto something else. I feel like that's kind of the case with the, like the Nebraska discourse bubble. So for anybody that was like worked up or had a take on Scott Frost's opening statement or lack thereof at Big Ten Media Day, I feel like a lot of you are probably like moved on from it. But since I haven't gotten to talk to anybody about it, Aaron, I have a thought that I wanted to run by you. You were there. You saw it. I didn't watch the clip initially. I read Brandon's column, Brandon Vogel's column.
Mm-hmm.
And the tone was sort of like, this is a make or break year for Scott Frost. He's acting like it. He's done talking. We're not going to learn a bunch about what's going on with them until they get on the football field. I saw a couple other columns that like framed the moment with Frost where he steps to the podium. People are waiting to see if he's going to start talking. And then the moderator says, would you like to give an opening statement? And he goes, nope, straight to questions. I've seen several folks in columns frame that moment as something like more, I don't know, more nefarious than it actually was. Like Frost, like didn't want to be there. He was angry. A whole bunch of other things. And it's interesting because I read about it and then actually watched the thing. And when I'm watching it, I'm like, oh, this is Frost. This is his personality. This is Frost. This is who he is. Mm-hmm. And part of it is, you know, what's he going to say that he hasn't said a billion times over the last 4 years and gotten raked over the coals for every time he said it? But the other thing that I thought was interesting about it was it kind of feels like that was the precursor to what this year is going to be like on the Scott Frost train. That was the litmus test for people, because people who don't like Scott Frost, people who don't believe that he's going to turn this thing around, people who don't think he should still be the head coach in Nebraska, viewed that moment. And if they had like a media space with which to use to broadcast their opinion, said that that was a bad moment. People who like Frost, or at the very least are indifferent towards him, or think like, I want this to work, so let's just wait and see, saw that moment and were like, okay, cool. Like, straight to questions. Good job. Other coaches do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of feels like that's what this season is going to be like. This season is going to be a bunch of complete overreaction to every little thing that Scott Frost says, and the fact that he has now sort of pulled back a little bit of the access that you guys have traditionally gotten. I feel like it's going to make that a little bit even more worse. Would you agree with that?
Well, I just also want to say really quick, that whole thing with the questions, I think what's really important is that people also recognize that he had just also spoken with all of us for like 45 minutes prior to that. So by the time he was getting there, because of their schedule, it was more or less like, I have already talked about so much literally right before this. So I don't think that whole like just going straight to questions was him even being like trying to even really make a point. I think in hindsight, probably could have like just said a couple of sentences about like, we're really looking forward to the season. But like, I don't think it was something where he was trying to create, like, I don't think it was like anything, like he was stirring anything up. I think it was just like, I've already had this whole conversation with everybody. What am I doing? And it's also hard when you're watching it from, and like, you've been to media days, so you see this, but like the setup is also kind of like the people weren't ready for the questions right away. So like when he goes straight to questions, they're like, oh, we have to go get a microphone to somebody now. So like, it was just like the whole production of like television, everything that kind of just made it like, if you're watching from home, you probably maybe misread it a little bit. Like I said, he could have still just said like a couple of sentences like every coach does and just be like, I'm really excited about the year and whatever. And that would have been fine. Would it have mattered? Who knows? But like, it is kind of like, it is, I think probably the best way to say it is what you just pointed out of like, this season is done. Like there are no questions in the sense, like, I don't mean the season is done. This season, it's the questions for seasons. It's done. Like this is an answer time. It's kind of one of those things where like, it doesn't really matter anymore. If you know, stand up there and give the opening statement, if you can't then address the questions. And so this is really, truly a make or break year for Nebraska and particularly Scott Frost. And that for me is, you know, I think you could make correlations of that. And I also think like having watched that whole thing play out on Twitter, I think it was kind of like people were reacting too harshly both ways. I just think it was what it was.
This is going to be such a drama filled season. This is put this season on like have a college football version of Hard Knocks on HBO and let Nebraska be the initial team to focus on, and you would have must see television. You just, you would obviously never get that access with this regime for HBO, but it'd be incredible. This is going to be such a drama filled season, but also
it's really well.
The other thing that I thought was funny was like, well, like the folks that wanted Frost to give a platitude or say something like get up there and like thank Trev Alberts for like giving him another year. Like, do you think Trev Alberts wants like a public, I don't know. Like, you think Trev Alberts wants Scott Frost to get up in public every time he's making a public appearance or a speaking engagement and say, thank you, Trev Alberts, for not firing me? No, I feel like the thing that Trev Alberts wants more than anything else is for Scott Frost to win some damn football games. Like, it's the only thing that is going to matter. But also, I would imagine that Scott Frost has expressed his gratitude to Trev Alberts for not firing him a number of ways since it was announced that Frost was coming back for a fourth season, which is another thing. Before we continue, I want to take a second and thank the sponsor, FSC Edge. I ask questions for a living. The best Q&A sessions that I've ever been in have been ones where I felt like the person on the other side of the tape recorder was invested in me just as much as I was invested in them. Talk to folks who've worked with FSC Edge, who have gone to the offices, who have met with, and they will all tell you the same thing. You'll get the same kind of treatment. FSC Edge integrates AI technologies, case management tools, and augmented operators to optimally process patent documents quickly and accurately. They work with some of the largest patent offices around the world to manage thousands of patent applications and granted patents. We're talking about a place that deals on a massive scale, protecting inventors and advancing innovation, but does so in a way that makes every client who walks in the door feel important and heard. FSC Edge is always looking for new members to come on board and join their team. You'll be doing impactful work and learning about patents in a welcoming, easygoing environment. Check out available jobs today by going to jobs@fsc.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
What was the most interesting thing that you heard at Media Day? Could be Nebraska related, could be completely you know, off the beaten path from, you know, maybe you had another fun moment with James Franklin or PJ Fleck or something.
James Franklin went the second day, so we didn't get to give him a yearbook this year, which was kind of sad. No, I think the most interesting thing was hearing Scott Frost say that he's sad about giving up the offense. Like, that was what we knew to be true. We know that, like, the offense is his baby and that he loves calling an offense, and that that is something that we've all been kind of keeping an eye on. And it was interesting because somebody told me that, like, I am basically like being negative by bringing this up, and I don't know why, because it's not a negative thing. He was just saying, I am sad. Like, I'm kind of like, he's still going to be like a part of the conversation and everything else, but like, he, like, to hear him, like, that was, in my opinion, the most like real thing he could have said was, I'm sad about this. And like, to hear his players also say, yeah, it's been an adjustment for him. I think that is when you start to see people for who they are, and they're like, they become more real in those moments. So like, I don't think feeling like that was an interesting moment is a negative thing, unless you want to make it one. I actually think it was really telling about kind of where he's at, and like, as he's transitioning into what we are being told is the CEO role, hearing him say that, it was, to me, that was really interesting.
Do you think that that's at, like, we're going to get into the season and we're going to be four games into the year, and it's still going to just be Mark Whipple's thing? Because like, if you look at Frost, I mean, like, imagine asking Pat Fitzgerald to have zero input in Northwestern's defense. Like, he probably wouldn't be too happy about that. And it probably wouldn't last very long if they tried to do that. And you think about Scott as a head coach, and as he got his start as a head coach, you know, you think about the 2017 Central Florida team and you see Scott Frost smiling on a football field. Like, he genuinely enjoys it when it's working. He genuinely enjoys it. And you can say that about a lot of coaches. It's not just specific to him, but like, I'm curious, you know, if folks buy that that's going to happen initially at all. And I'm curious if you buy that, you know, let's say that they get into the start of the season and it's still an adjustment period and four games in, that that's still going to be, I guess, the working relationship between the two of them.
Yeah, I mean, he's been saying this since spring that this is, it's a relationship. Like, he still has input. He's still, you know, having, like, he's still part of the discussion. But I think the thing that is more is going to be really interesting is watching how it plays out on a game day. And I guess for me, I would like to see when the going gets tough, how that plays out, and if he feels like he needs to step in, or if he kind of keeps the CEO role. That is going to be an interesting thing to kind of observe, because like you said, like, this, the offense is like a part of who he is, and asking somebody to kind of step back on those things would be hard for anyone. And again, like I said, like, I had a comment telling me that I was being negative about it. And I don't think this is a negative thing. I think it's actually like one of the most like telling things about him as a coach is just like, he has built his coaching career, on the offensive identity. And when you're kind of taking a step back, and even though you're still a part of the conversation, it's not so much yours anymore. You're now part of it, but you're kind of taking the back seat to the person who's leading. That would be tough for anyone to kind of make that adjustment. So it's going to be interesting to see how he handles that adjustment, in my opinion, going into this season. And I think it will tell us a lot about what we are going to see all season long based on how they respond when things get tough.
So you've heard from him at media day. Nebraska has obviously opened fall camp, so you've been to a practice. What would you say is the messaging from this coaching staff to open fall camp? Like, there's always like a, you know, we're focused on growth, or we're focused on detailing, or we're happy to get back on the field. Like, there's always like a kind of a tent pole message that a coaching staff has to open fall camp. Mm-hmm. Have you gotten a sense for what Nebraska's is, or what Frost's is?
I think it kind of sounds a lot like they're just putting their heads down and getting to work. Or at least that's the way that it feels. We just heard the day that this podcast is being recorded from special teams and running backs. Those were the kind of the two areas of focus that we heard from. And you just hear about a lot of player led, a lot of like really putting, you know, just putting their heads down, getting to work. And so I kind of, you know, temper that with like, I completely understand if someone's like, well, why hasn't that happened in the past? That's a fair question and criticism. But it just seems like they're really kind of just like, we got to put our heads down and put the work in and get it. You know, we really can't, there's really no room for error at this point. And I don't think there was in the past either, but I think there's kind of a reality check of like where they're at today and what needs to happen. Now with that said, I don't think things feel overly tense. I will admit, like, it doesn't, like, you don't get this sense of people are kind of like uptight, at least not the assistants. And you know, actually when that was a huge talking point about the assistants not being available throughout the fall to talk with the media, it's only going to be coordinators. Actually getting the vibes of the assistants through fall camp so far, it kind of, for me, reiterates why I'm disappointed that they won't be available, because I think a lot of times you get more insight sometimes into like situations, what's going on. But at the same time, like, they're also just a little bit like, they seem more relaxed. So like that can be a really good thing when you're talking about like just how people are perceiving your program and how things are going, is just the fact that they don't feel overly tense. So it'll be interesting, I guess, to see how the coordinators and Frost sort of navigate that through fall, since they won't have the assistants to also kind of like gauge their, you know, it's like a temperature rate, like gauge where you're like, okay, what's kind of like going on here? It's not only going to be, you know, three people sort of answering for a bigger room instead of the whole group. So, you know, I think that just the messaging so far has just been like, they're putting in the work. And like what that ultimately shows up as, what it ultimately means, will yet to be determined. But that is at least what they want us to know. And they've really been preaching that of like, everybody's working really hard. There's a lot of competition at a lot of position groups. So I think competition is another one that keeps coming up. It's going to be interesting.
So Nebraska is in an interesting spot, in the sense that there are folks that view Nebraska as fifth place in the Big Ten West, as a team that is going to completely fall on its face. This is not going to work. This is just sort of a, I don't know, 1 year, like, get ready for the firing squad for Scott Frost kind of deal. And then there are other folks like Brett Theonce, who I had on my podcast recently from Pick Six Previews, that thinks that Nebraska can finish second in the West. There's a wide range of beliefs with this Nebraska team. And I'm trying to remember another recent season where I felt like people were this divided on what they could be. There was, you know, the initial at the start of Frost's tenure, there was, well, we'll see what happens. And then year two, they're going to be pretty good. And everybody was kind of on that boat. They're going to be pretty good. Maybe not, you know, UCF year two jump, but they're going to be pretty good. And then it didn't happen. And then it seems like that people have just been kind of like, well, we'll wait and see over the last couple of years. But this offseason has just felt different, in the sense that there are clear, this ain't going to work sides, and there are clear, actually, Nebraska's pretty good. They're pretty good. Don't sleep on Nebraska. That's a thing that I've noticed. I'm curious, in just kind of like getting to speak a little bit with players, like, what's the, like, has that been brought up? Like, do they recognize that, or do they, I guess, has that been something that kind of resonates with them, that maybe you could interpret that as there are as few expectations on this team as there have been on a Nebraska team in the Scott Frost tenure so far, which, like, is an insane thing to say, because obviously he has to win to keep his job. But at the same time, like, when no one knows what you're going to look like, it's hard to place expectations on what you should hit. Like, do you get that sense from the team that they kind of, I don't know, that they're aware of that?
Yes and no. I think, you know, obviously they're aware of like the, like what people expect and what people are saying about them or not saying about them for that matter. But I think maybe when you bring in 33 new scholarship players who are not 100% familiar with like what has been happening, like, yeah, they know Nebraska's record and everything else, but they didn't live those moments. So I think a little bit of it is, they're maybe not quite as, they just haven't experienced it like themselves. So that probably helps a little bit in kind of buffering, or at least creating a buffer between like what people are saying or have said or not saying, and what they're kind of expecting going into this season. Because like, I wouldn't expect Trey Palmer, who played for LSU last year, to like have a full understanding of what that 2021 season was like. Same thing for Casey Thompson. Sure, he's studying last year and he can kind of understand, but until you've like, you're living it in the moment and you're experiencing those feelings in real time where fans have all of the expectations or none of the expectations, it's probably a little bit of like, you know, you can kind of set your own expectations, at least right now, where you can say like anything that was in the past was in the past. We can kind of just refocus ourselves. So yeah, I actually think all of the new players probably helps Nebraska to a little bit of a degree insulate itself from what people are or not saying at this point. So I think a lot of their expectations are just expectations that they've set for themselves. And they probably haven't really had to start thinking too much of outside expectations because it just hasn't been something that they've had to like worry about yet. And I don't know if they necessarily need to worry, but it does get hard if a season starts going the way you don't want it to go, it can get really hard to ignore the outside noise. Like I always kind of go back to this moment where I don't want to call this player out, but I remember in 2017 when kind of the trajectory of Mike Riley's last season was going the way that it was, we knew it was going to happen. And one of the players was like, I know I'm not supposed to care. I know I'm not supposed to listen to any of this. I know I'm not supposed to. I'm supposed to like block it out and who cares? And it's not supposed to be something on my radar, but like, it's really hard. It's really hard not to hear it. It's really hard not to see it. And so I think about that a little bit where they're insulated today. What does that look like 2 months from now? And that's where I think we'll probably see a little bit more of them either feeling the pressure of, or, you know, how do they combat against that depending on how this season goes?
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
You mentioned all the new players. It reminded me, I wanted to ask you, I was at Pac-12 Media Day over the weekend.
We got better gifts. Although I do have to say really quick, they gave us better gifts. They gave us more of that beef jerky. So the alliance is still very strong. But they gave us better gifts at the volleyball media days than they did football media days.
Let me say this, and this is not what I was going to say, but the irony was inescapable that Pac-12 Media Day was in a like – quote unquote cooler place, was in downtown Los Angeles compared to Indianapolis. It was at a better venue, which was at the Novo Theater, which was like this just really beautiful theater on the inside. Like it looked cool.
It looked cool.
The Big Ten's media day is in a football stadium. Mm-hmm. The irony was inescapable that the Pac-12 setup looked cooler, aesthetically was better than the Big Ten's, and from a functionality standpoint, failed horribly. Every single person in there was using a hotspot. They were all on their hotspots because we couldn't get the internet to work. And they decided that they wanted to put so that it, you know, like the Big Ten splits it up into 2 days, you mentioned, right? So you'll get coaches and then you'll get coaches the next day, and there'll be a break in the day, and then you'll get breakouts of other players. That was not the case with the Pac-12. The Pac-12 had coach at the main stage, and then probably 20 feet away, both players from the same team are talking at the same time in the same room with the coach. And the coach's microphone is turned up very loudly. So trying to go back through this audio and listen to players is a nightmare. So from a functionality standpoint, this thing failed. It failed. The Big Ten was better. And I just couldn't, you know, I thought that that was pretty interesting, given all the stuff that's going on with the Big Ten and the Pac-12, and why this stuff is going on with the Big Ten and the Pac-12. But I wanted to say,
The Wi-Fi was no better at Lucas Oil. So just if it makes you feel better, I use my hotspot the entire time.
All right. Well, welcome back, football season. What I wanted to say was everyone and their grandmother wanted to talk about NIL and the transfer portal. That was all anybody wanted to talk about.
No.
Was that the case at Big Ten Media Days as well? Like, did the transfer portal dominate conversation at Big Ten Media Days as well? Like,
for sure. Like, it was transfer portal, because the big question at the time was, as they were trying to decide if the whole unlimited transfers thing, that news had just kind of broken like the day before, if like unlimited transfers would be able to be allowed. Obviously we know now that like, that's not going to pass.
I'm glad that there was enough pushback on that. I'm glad that was gonna be a problem.
Garrett Nelson, he was one of the ones who was like, I don't like that. And actually some of his quotes got a little taken out of context, because he was not talking about transfers in general. He was talking about, I would not be a fan of unlimited transfers, because then he's like, how do you build any trust across different groups? Like, how do you build any kind of like trust? He wasn't saying. Also,
how do you obtain a degree at that point? My brother was trying to transfer colleges, and my college roommate transferred colleges while we were in school. And in both instances, trying to figure out how your credits transfer over to a new school was like a big deal. Anyway, sorry.
No, it's continue. True. But I did feel bad for Garrett a little bit. I think some people misinterpreted how he was like, here's this player with all of these transfers on his team talking about how he doesn't like it. No, he was talking about the unlimited transfers piece. It just got lost, I think, in some of that translation of like, that's the hard part. What you're talking about with some of these media days is like, it's really easy for information to just kind of go. And then like, if it's not like accurately, you know, represented, like that's not good. But I mean, he was talking about he wouldn't be a fan of unlimited transfers. I thought it was really interesting. Travis Vokolek said, you know, the year he had to sit out was actually really like a fundamental year for him. It taught him how to like be patient in the moment and not like, you know, to really focus on what he needed and wanted to focus on.
In that time period, he also talked about how beneficial that was for him to work on his blocking technique.
Yes, he did talk about that. So
better as a player during that setup.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear from him as well. I thought his perspective was interesting. And then Quentin Newsom was kind of like in the middle of both of them, where he's just like, I want everyone to be happy. So it was kind of like, you had the Travis who was like talking about like what transferring meant to him, and you had Garrett Nelson, and then you had Quentin Newsom just being like, everybody can be happy wherever they need to be. That became, so it was definitely NIL, transfer portal, the super conferences, the conference expansion was obviously another big topic. And a lot of people were asking these players, like, what does it mean to you to have USC and UCLA? And it was so funny because so many of them had to be like, I won't be a player here when that happens.
Yeah.
I won't physically be here, but great for everyone else. Love that for them.
Yeah. Yep. That was it's funny because, you know, all of that stuff is so new. So all of us media folks are like, we still want to write about that and talk about that and ask coaches about transfer portal and NIL, stuff like that. And you can really tell that coaches are like, look, this has been our life 365 days a year for like the last 3 years. Like, this isn't, the novelty's worn off. This isn't new for us anymore. We're done. I want to talk about football. And you, like, I could tell, like, when coaches got asked football questions, when players got asked football questions, they just lit up. It's football season. We're back to football. So let's get back to football real quick. And one more question I want to ask before we get you out of here is, what is a camp battle that you're most interested in watching in Nebraska? And you can't say quarterback. I didn't tell you this in the show notes that I gave you, but you can't say quarterback.
I'm going to say, that's a good question. I would say running back is going to be really interesting. I think we know that it's between Gabe Irvin and Ramir Johnson. It seems pretty much like that's not surprising to anyone. Brian Applewhite said he's not ready to name his RB1 just yet, but like everything else he has said, it's really pretty much like between those two. So it'll be really interesting. I think more or less what I'm more interested in, like whether it's Gabe, whether it's Ramir, whether it's a combo of both in some way, is like one thing that has not been consistent with Nebraska in recent years is its running back spot and sticking with a player. And it feels like every week there's a new RB1. So like for me, I'm like, okay, if whoever this player is, are they going to remain in that top spot or what happens? So that's what I'm really interested in. And I think we all have to be really interested in the offensive line and where that group ends up. Like more than anything else, like this offense is going to live and die by that offensive line. And that's one group, because I was going to go pull up. So Drake Healer was, I was obviously, as we were talking about, I was in Chicago on Monday. So I didn't get to observe the first like open practice. I'll get to see one in the coming in the next week. So this is what he saw, was that Turner Corcoran lined up at both left guard and left tackle throughout drills. He was primarily tackle. He started 9 games at left tackle. Teddy Prochazka spent time at the left tackle with Corcoran at guard. So he kind of like just went through like, Trent Hickson was the one mostly working at center. None of these are like surprising. Like it's all kind of what we were thinking. We've kind of been told long enough that Trent Hickson is likely going to be taking that spot with Cam Jurgens moving on. But Ethan Piper also lined up at center. He wasn't lining up at quarterback, although that would make for a really interesting quarterback piece if Ethan Piper started lining up at quarterback. But no, I think just kind of how that offensive line officially looks come game one is going to be interesting, because so much of this offense relies so heavily on it. And I've seen this conversation play out a little bit where people are like, you know, Casey Thompson can scramble. It's not about Casey Thompson or any quarterback being able to scramble. They don't want them to do that unless it's an absolute necessity, unless they have to, unless it's a designed situation or unless they have no other choice. They do not want Casey Thompson or Chuba Purdy or Logan Smothers or anybody running around like Adrian Martinez had to. Like, they don't want that to be what happens. So that offensive line has to be incredibly tough, has to be really strong, and seeing where they line up and what they rotate and how it's going to be really, that for me, that's going to be the one to watch. And I don't think that shocks anyone. Everything kind of lives and dies by those lines. So you could make the same argument like for the defensive line, how that whole situation looks, but I would probably put more emphasis on the offensive line right now, since a lot more of it is unknown.
Forgive me if this is a stupid question. Prochazka is healthy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Ready to go?
I mean, that's what, so for the record, for anyone who's like, whoa, is this, like, we are going entirely off of what we have been told. And yes, like, we have no reason to believe that, like, when it came to the offensive line, it was Raiola who said, like, everybody is good to go and working. Teddy is somebody that, you know, he has had a rough go. But yeah, he is all what we have been told is he is ready to go.
Should I be worried then that he's not getting the bulk of the first team snaps at left tackle?
This offensive line,
like, I'm kind of concerns me. There was so much talk about Turner moving over to the other side of the line. You know, we saw what Turner's play at left tackle looked like last season. I'd like to see Teddy get, assuming he's healthy, I'd like to see Teddy get as many first team left tackle snaps as possible. Yeah. I know you weren't there and you're just kind of going off of what Drake wrote, but that's not what I want to hear.
So, but like, so if you have Turner, so I guess like, I'm trying to think of like, I feel like you're going to see, okay. So again, I'm just going to look at this. So Turner was lining up at left guard and left tackle. Teddy was just at left tackle so when Teddy was in at tackle, Corcoran was at guard. So could that mean that they're just going to like be able to rotate them around? Is it something where like they're just trying to, you know, be careful with him and not like have him overdo it at least to start? Or are they just trying to see who fits best where? I admittedly, having not been able to be there. So like, I also didn't like, that's also like a part of it is like, I didn't get to see it myself.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
I'm going to immediately text Drake when we get off this podcast and I'm going to tell him I need to know right now when Turner was at those left tackle snaps, when he's taking those left tackle reps, is it the first team offense or the second team offense?
I know.
That's going to determine my outlook for the offensive line for this season after day one. I'm either in or out.
We need to hear from Raiola again. That's like the thing. And this is why like it's so, you know, big to hear from coaches is like you get to hear their perspective. You get to hear their, like, even if like they're only telling you to a degree what you want to hear, it's still helpful to hear them. So like we should be hearing from Raiola next week because we've heard from pretty much everyone but him at this point. So long story short, we should be hearing from him. And then that, that will be interesting too, just to kind of like get a refresher with him at this point, kind of what to expect going forward.
It'll be a week and a half, maybe a week into fall camp at that point. So he'll have seen some stuff, probably not enough to, you know, make definite decisions on, a two deep, but he'll have seen some stuff. I'm glad that you went with the offensive line because 2 years in a row, that's been the most important position or group unit with Nebraska in terms of determining what their success is going to be. So
I had somebody bring it up to me yesterday. They were like, hey, if Cam Jurgens ends up, you know, with the Eagles being great, what do you make of that? And I was like, I think you got to stop letting your talent go be great elsewhere. You need them to be great here now. And so I think, you know, that's going to be the ultimate challenge for Raiola is can you get the most out of these players here now in this moment versus letting them graduate, go to the NFL and becoming successful then? Like, it's great to like have this pipeline of players who go to the NFL and are great offensive linemen, but it's not great when you're like, well, they didn't, you know, have the performance they should have at Nebraska. That is something that has to be fixed. They need to be excellent now.
Yeah. I think Cam will be a pretty good guard in the NFL. But I also think that if he is a pretty good guard in the NFL, it shouldn't say bad things about Scott Frost because I don't think he was a bad offensive lineman in college, which is why he got drafted.
No, and I'm not saying that.
I know. I'm just saying he just happened to play on an offensive line that had that had bad tackle play. He was on an offensive line that had bad tackle play.
Yeah, and he's also like when you think about when you just think about like his journey, he was a converted tight end who had to learn in a situation that was like that first year was super rocky because he came into his own quickly enough, but the first few games were pretty rocky. And, you know, I think he kind of found his way, but Cam couldn't be everything for everyone on that offensive line. And then you have guys getting injured and things happening. And it just was like, he was a good player, but that's what I'm saying is like, if you are Raiola, you need those players to be great today. So maybe in some of these cases, as he's rotating these players around, if it's a matter of trying to keep guys fresh and healthy, that's good. That's another thing. You need to get the most out of these players today versus them going off and being great elsewhere.
We'll see.
They need to be great elsewhere too, but here too. They need to be great at Nebraska as well.
Great
here first.
And then go be good someplace else. Preferably in the professional league, not at another college team.
Yes. Unless we're workshopping the tagline.
Unless you're Adrian. I think if Adrian is good elsewhere, people will be happy.
I do too. I think a lot of Nebraska fans are going to be like secretly watching a lot of K-State games.
Yeah.
You can say absolutely not. I will not in the comment section of this video. That's fine. I don't believe you. It's cool.
All right, Aaron, you gotta go. You got stuff to do. You gotta get out of here. Thank you for coming on the podcast. I appreciate having you on. I was glad to finally do this after 2 weeks of talking about it.
Well, thank you.
We'll be back with another episode next week. In the meantime, keep reading hillvarsity.com. Go to hillvarsity.com/subscribe. Use the promo code VARSITY. Make sure that you get all of your Nebraska football fix. You can read everything as long as you are subscribed. You also get the magazine that way. Aaron, you're still doing your podcast with Sasha, aren't you? Mind your
own. I am. In fact, we just this week talked about Big Ten Volleyball Media Days and just our like what the experience was and what I thought with that. So, still going, and we'll be excited to take that into football season, volleyball, everything in between.
Yep, go listen to it. Mind Your Own Podcast, Aaron Sorensen and Sasha Durkin. Shouts to you guys for listening to this show every week. Shouts to Aaron for coming on once more, and then shouts to Cam for producing this episode. Every week, we will be back next week. And I mean it this time. We will be back next week. There's nothing that will prevent me from being back next week. No random impromptu flights that I have to take. Thanks, guys.
A Huda Media Production.